What's up, everybody? It's the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
A Shot of Lion production.
Guys, big weekend. The weekend's not even over yet, but, you know, what an amazing night of fights. A lot went on yesterday. UFC 302, Islam Makhachev taking on Dustin the Diamond Poirier went down. And what a fantastic fight it was. I had a feeling something great was brewing in this type of fight. And exactly, Henry, we saw a tremendous fight. How did you see it?
Yeah, well, I think for the most part, the person that really maybe surprised me was Dustin Poirier. His grit. I mean, obviously, he's proven that he's been able to, you know, do tremendously against the best fighters in the world, but has always come up short. Just impressed on the fact that, man, he was able to really damage and hurt a guy like Islam Makhachev. If this guy is considered the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world, I mean, look at what the number three lightweight in the world just did to him. Yeah, granted, you know, Islam did finish him at the very end. It was almost like a mission from Islam to finish the job, and he was able to do it. But prior to that, Kamaru, I mean, he got hit, man. He got hit, and then the way he got hit, and then after the fight, him kind of discussing on just everything that kind of happened. He's like, hey, man, how can I be pound for pound and I take all this damage? But that's just a credit to a guy like Dustin Poirier. And I think Dustin did a really good job of continue to keep bringing the fight to him. Yeah, he got taken down. He would continue to keep getting back up. He wasn't allowing Islam to, like, lay and pray. He wasn't allowing him to get comfortable. And I think that if there's anything that I took from that fight is the fact that Dustin Poirier made this dude earn that victory.
100%. You know, I told you guys all month, that y'all were being disrespectful with y'all predictions or y'all this and that. It was, I'm not gonna lie, it was disrespectful. It was, for me, I think it was borderline disrespectful because it's Dustin Poirier. It's Dustin Poirier. Dustin the Diamond. A guy that's been battle tested through and through. A guy that's been doing this since, I believe, middle school, you know? So, yeah, I think one thing that people forget about this is they hear the word all pound for pound and they lose their mind. People think that makes you're invincible because of pound for pound. Guys, listen, pound for pound is a hypothetical. That's a hypothetical ranking. I don't think people understand that. That's hypothetical. That means pound for pound, it doesn't matter what weight class I put you in, your style, the way that you fight can transcend, whether you're a bantamweight, a flyweight, or whether you're a heavyweight. That's all that means. It just says that your style, the way that you fight, will definitely translate and you can be victorious and successful in those weight classes. That's it. It's a hypothetical. Pound for pound does not mean you're invincible. You can't be touched. You can't be beat, especially by guys in your own division that are your same size, that train just as long as you have, that work just as hard as you.
So that's true.
Yeah. So that's why I felt that it was disrespectful. Everyone, like, guys were saying, oh, he's going to take care of him in under 10 minutes. Jeez. I'm like, yo, calm down, guys. You know, it's still a fight. And I knew that they were going to drill that. They were just going to drill getting up or working really, really hard against the fence with defending. And Henry, you and I have talked about wrestling has changed now. It's not just back in the day where if you got taken down, that's it, game over. No, people know how to use that fence to stay up right now. People are staying upright. People are doing a great job of stuffing the head, separating the hands, and making a wrestler or grappler truly earn those takedowns. And I think Dustin Poirier did a phenomenal job of that. He touched Islam. But listen, Islam's a dog. Islam stayed in there, and Islam still went and got the finish. So if that's not what pound for pound means, I don't know what it is. Pound for pound does not mean, oh, yeah, you're going to walk through everybody. It just means your style will translate through every different division, every weight class. So great fight, Henry. I liked it. Dustin made him earn it, like you said, Henry. And I mean, his stock just continues to rise. I mean, what else can you say about a guy like Dustin Poirier?
Yeah, right. No. Well, of course, and he's talked about retirement. I mean, what's next for a guy like Islam? And then moving forward is what's next for a guy like Dustin? I mean, are there super fights for a guy like Dustin Poirier? I mean, we just saw Alexander Volkanovski call out a guy like Dustin Poirier. Is that fight even good for Volkanovski? Is that even something that the UFC maybe wants to entertain, a heavy hitter and a guy like Dustin Poirier? And the other thing too, Kamaru is Islam. He just said a quote that I read. That I read today. That he said during his post press conference. He's like, you want to be remembered as a legend. I think the only way to be remembered and do legendary thing is by winning a second belt. I mean, how many times, Kamaru Usman, did I get on your ass that I would fight with you? Obviously, you had your thing with Israel. And I respect now, but he wants to go up to 170 pounds. And I think his next challenge, before he does that, he has to fight a guy like Armin Sarukian.
Yeah, he's got some guys. He's got, obviously Armin Sarukian's next. I know Justin Gaethje suffered a defeat. But Justin Gaethje, that's a fun fight too. And look what, if Dustin Poirier was able to do that. Dustin Poirier was not a wrestler. Justin Gaethje was actually a wrestler. And so it is what it is. Styles make fights. I'm not in no way, shape, or form saying that Justin Gaethje is going to go in there and get the job done. I'm just saying that these are fun matchups that he can still fight. It's great to have two belts, but guess what? You just have two hardware at your house when it's all said and done, collecting dust. So listen, it is great. It puts you in an elite, legendary group. But I don't think that's
two's
just
better than one, Kamaru. Two's better than one.
That's true. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But I don't think that's only what makes you a legendary fighter. Like, look at Khabib.
Yeah, but of course. But just know what I'm telling you. From the quote of what Islam Makhachev said, the only way that I become different, I become legend, is I need second belt in my resume.
I do agree, because then it's, Khabib did it first, and then now he did it. So yeah, what sets him a little bit apart from Khabib is the fact that he goes up and grabs that second belt. And well, first we take care of Armin Sarukian, and then you see where the mix of those two divisions are at.
Not just that too, Kamaru. Think about it this way.
Yeah.
Does he knock off? Does he knock off Khabib Nurmagomedov? Does he knock off Fedor Emelianenko as the greatest Russian fighter of all time?
I mean, listen. I don't know, but I don't like that term, the greatest of all time. You can't necessarily say that. You could say the most accomplished, because when you talk about Russian fighters, there's been some killers. You talk about Rustam Khabilov. You're talking about, the OG. You're talking about Fedor Emelianenko. You talk about what's the middleweight from Bellator, Shlemenko or Alexander? There's some fighters, man. So you can't. I don't know about greatest of all time. It's relative. I would say the most accomplished. But it is what it is. And as to with Dustin Poirier, I know he says he wants to retire, but I just feel like before the Saint Denis fight, the way that Dustin was speaking, the things he was saying, I could relate to what he was battling with. And then he wanted to test himself, so he jumped right back in. And I've known Dustin for a while now, so I know how he reacted, how he was feeling after the Khabib loss. So, hey, I think he needs this. He needs this until he. I know he's doing a great job now with his business outside of MMA, which he is. He's doing a great job with that, but I think he needs this. So. I don't think he just walks away. But he's got fights. I'm you're right. The Volkanovski fight could, you know, that's a fun fight. I'm not in any way throwing my hat in, but he wants to go up. Hey, that's a fun fight. I'm not saying I'm welcoming the fight. Don't do it. I'm not saying that. But if, and I always put my mind there, if I was to ever compete against a guy like Dustin Poirier, that would be a fantastic one, because it's a guy that I could really respect through and through the process, really through the process. And we go out and it's like you and your main training partner and you just like, yeah, we're going to beat each other up. We're going to push each other to the brink. You know, that would be a fun fight. But I'm not throwing my hat in. I'm not saying that.
No, but you know what? You know what? You're not wrong, Kamaru. Like, there's a lot of, I mean, with the BMF, the fact that it just took off, could we be seeing super fights with Dustin Poirier maybe versus a Max Holloway after Max fights Ilia Topuria? Because that was one thing that Max Holloway, and this is why I respect Max Holloway, was like, hey, man, you know, like, he got one on me. I got to get it back, brother. Dustin Poirier, what's up? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like his fight against Max Holloway is really good. Yeah, I like it. Personally, I like the fight between, you know, him and the Nigerian Nightmare, you know, what you've been able to do in combat sports. I mean, there's that fight, you know, him and Nate Diaz never really threw down. I mean, that's a huge fight, and particularly for the fans that want to do it. I mean, the dude has option. I will say this, though, Kamaru Usman, he's like, yeah, a lot of people say, hey, you're still young, you're 35 years old. He's like, guys, I've been doing this shit for, you know, close to 20 years. I got 50 fights in this damn game. And then when I thought about that, I'm just like, holy shit. When is enough? And as you know, Dustin Poirier has been one of those fighters that has taken so much damage. I mean, when is it that he's like, hey, man, maybe I can just leave now and just leave unscathed? Because that one punch in that one particular fight against that one heavy hitter, that could change things, Kamaru.
Yeah, I don't think there's no such thing as leaving unscathed. He's already, you know, he feels it. When you wake up in the morning, you got to be in your routine. You know, you go a month or two, it's like, wait, why haven't I been hit? Why haven't I hit anyone? Why haven't I hit anything? You know, so it's, I don't say unscathed. I think he's definitely, has 50 fights, he's definitely put his time in. But, you know, whatever it is, Dustin will figure it out. You know, I like the guy. And like I told y'all, don't be disrespectful. All of y'all thinking that Islam is just going, you know. But with all that being said, Islam is a true savage, a true champion, and, you know, great performance.
Yeah. It almost seems like the person that kind of stole the show, even though he did lose, I almost feel like the person that really stole the show in the whole UFC 302, it is Dustin Poirier. So best of luck to him. I think moving now, Kamaru Usman, let's talk about the co-main event. We all thought it was going to be the blockbuster, the potential fight of the year. I mean, what are your thoughts?
We all. Listen, it is what it is, but it was exactly what I thought it was going to be. Exactly what I thought it was going to be. But the only thing that I would say that kind of is, I guess didn't surprise me, but Sean Strickland's, like, his pace is, he has that slow pressure that just, it just keeps coming. I'm just walking forward. It's a leisurely pressure. Like, it's like he's sparring. He spars the whole time. That leisurely pressure is just coming, and it's just the one thing that I think would just kind of change things up for Sean Strickland is learning how to tempo fights, learning how to pick up the tempo, bring it back down, pick up the tempo, bring it back down. Right. And I know for a fact, the moment I started doing this with guys, I busted my fights wide open. And I think if he works on that, because you saw it in the end of the fight, the last 20 seconds. Once he changed tempos, he was successful. He was, you know, getting chairs. Things were going on. So I think it's, you know, the fight was kind of back and forth, but wasn't the most exciting fight, because it's like, it was very rare to see, like, damaging, big damaging strikes, but both just kind of went back and forth. And And obviously the judges felt the exact same way because what a scorecard. I mean, it just reflects the everybody was confused.
Talk about it.
Yeah, everybody was confused. And listen, I know Dana was upset with it, but at the same time, how can you be? I mean, those rounds one through four was relatively back and forth, kind of confusing. You know, Sean was kind of, you know, throwing out more strikes, but Paulo Costa, when he stood his ground, would land, you know, strikes that seemed to be a little bit more effective. So I don't know. It was just a weird fight, you know, a really weird fight.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kamaru Usman. I think the biggest thing that we do take from a guy like Sean Strickland is he's like a pressure cooker. He stays at that same tempo, but can he really switch it up? Because there's times where he really did have Paulo Costa huffing and puffing with his mouth open, and he wasn't necessarily hitting that second gear to where he was able to really make him go back. So there's one thing that we understand from this fight is Paulo Costa cannot fight backwards. He does a horrible job of he's accustomed to just always being the prey, but when somebody's preying on him, he doesn't have those lateral movements where he can kind of create angles and then eventually come in with the strikes. So I think with Sean Strickland, you know, with his fight style, yeah, is it problematic for people? It is, unless you bring in wrestling. It is, unless you kick the legs. It is, unless you're able to mix up the fight like when you fought him, and the level changes will mix everything that made it very problematic in order for you to actually get the finish. I think overall, I think this fight disappointed a lot of people. I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting both guys. I think the biggest thing too, Kamaru, is they're just too friendly, man. It's almost better to have a little bit of animosity. They're just trying to be homies. They're trying to be friends. It's almost like there's too much respect in there, Kamaru, inside the cage, because nobody necessarily wanted to lose to each other because they're both trolls. That the fight just ended up just being the last 17 seconds of that fight is what gave the roar. But other than that, I mean, the fight was a snooze fest, Kamaru. I don't know how else to say it, man.
Listen, no, it is, like I said, it's a weird fight. You should have known when these two guys, because these are the two fighters, and listen, I'm just gonna say it right now. These are the two type of fighters that you throw them in the right situation can be champion. Sean Strickland has proven that. You threw him in the right situation with the right opportunity, could become champion. But as far as when they say pound for pound, I just don't think these are the pound for pound guys. But these are the guys that can be champions. You put them in the right situation at the right time.
I agree, because you went down the line and you became champion. Now, a guy who is the current champ now, like, you know, like a guy like Alex Pereira. I mean, has he gone through the whole line of like a lot of the people have at 185 pounds? Has he gone through the whole line as he's gone through 205? Because you're right, man. Can you go through the top five? Can you go through the top 10? Can you go through the top five and then say, hey, I can fight any style, anybody, anywhere, and nobody will really, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but, and that's what it, you know, means to be, like, pound for pound.
But that's where the push kind of tends to come too.
Yeah, and that's what it means when you're pound for pound, which means styles all the way through can translate. So, you know, Dricus du Plessis, he mixed it up on Sean Strickland and he took his belt. So that's what I mean. Like, in the right situation, when you Sean Strickland fought a guy like Israel, which, you know, they were outside things going on, but it doesn't matter. You know, that style favored him. You put him in the right situation, right opportunity, and he becomes champion. But when you have guys that can, the styles are, you can throw them in a pound for pound ranking list, that means their style can translate, you know, whether it's flyweight or whether it's heavyweight. They will, yeah, have success with their style. And that's what Dricus du Plessis has. And that's the separation there, you know, yeah. But it is what it is.
So well, right now, Kamaru Usman, what's going on with the 185 pound division? I mean, will Israel? I mean, I don't know what the holdup is between Israel Adesanya and a guy like Dricus du Plessis. And then what about, dude? We're forgetting about the Reaper. We're forgetting about Robert Whittaker. I mean, does Sean really think the UFC is going to give him this like, all right, you're the number one contender now. You're going to fight for the title. What about Robert Whittaker? What about him and Robert Whittaker? You know, why don't they tangle? And then the winner of that's going to get the winner of Israel Adesanya and a guy like Dricus du Plessis.
Well, I think it pretty much what it's potentially going to be because I believe June, later this month, in a couple of weeks, actually, Whittaker fights a guy I know, well, Khamzat Chimaev in Saudi Arabia. And then you've also got Jared Cannonier there, who is fighting Imavov. So, you know, this division is shaping out. There are guys there. There's great fights. There's great fights. So, you know, I think by August, there's going to be a clear picture. But also, you know, you've got the Dricus du Plessis matchup with Israel Adesanya hanging out there. So once they announce that, then we'll get some clarity on the division. But that division is doing well. I think Sean Strickland just sits and most likely he's going to fight the winner of Khamzat Chimaev versus Whittaker. But we all know at the end of the day, you have to be able to sell tickets. Your performance is the biggest tale of how fast you can be pushed or how, because it is entertainment.
Woo!
So if you and you entertain and you do a great job, hey, the company's like, hey, the fans, the people want to see you. Hey, let's throw you back out there. You get the crack now. So it is what it is. But let's
So it's almost like this, Kamaru. You're only as good as your last fight. So if you
perform 1,000%.
And you perform correctly, you're the next person in line. So yeah, this Sean Strickland did beat Paul Costa 100%. But let's not forget we have Khamzat Chimaev versus Robert Whittaker that I totally freaking spaced out and forgot. The winner of that fight, which I know Robert's gonna go out there and throw down, which I know a guy like Khamzat Chimaev is gonna go out there and push the base and throw down. So I agree with you 100%. You're only as good as your last fight. So for that reason, I feel like the winner, if the fight isn't made with Dricus du Plessis and Israel Adesanya, the winner of this next fight is going to fight Dricus. And then the winner of that fight is going to be, you know, they're going to go up there on the pound-for-pound ranking because the weight class at 185 pounds is freaking stacked.
Yeah, I agree. Now we move on to our next fight. We had Kevin Holland defeat Michael or the miniature Polish power. And first round. This is, I guess, I wasn't shocked.
I think I got this one right on Underdog, Kamaru.
Yeah, you did. I wasn't shocked because I expected Kevin Holland to, because Kevin Holland can fight. He's not bad. You know, he does well. This is exactly what I expected. But it's just the miniature Polish power just made some bonehead mistakes. And I think it cost him big time. But, you know, it was a great performance for as long as it lasted. Kevin Holland, you know, creating space, moving around, flowing well. And he did a great job, you know, landing his jabs, you know. But then he gets caught. I think he tries to do a jumping knee or something like that. And then he gets clipped. Or he threw a kick. He threw a right kick. Then he gets clipped by a left hand. But then miniature Polish power just kind of is going crazy and jumps into a triangle, throws himself in a triangle. And now here's the issue that I have. If you're grappling, you know, in a position like this, you do not pull out. You stack the guy, especially you're close to the fence. You use the fence. You stack him and put his neck there. Stack him there and push on him till you have to slowly, like a snake, you know, you slowly got to just gradually pull your arm out. But you know, I know how it is. You're in there, adrenaline's flowing, you just want to get the finish, and it cost him. But this, look at here, this is there's a little bit of a controversy here with the finish, because he's in that arm bar for a little while. His arm's twisted back this way. It looks dangerous with Herb Dean standing on top of him, and he looks dangerous. But he's fought it for a little while now. Didn't tap. He was looking for the opposite hand, trying to peel, but it looked dangerous. The arm was all the way twisted back. And listen, I am not mad at Herb Dean for stopping the fight. But at the same time, if the fighter did not tap and he gets up like that and he protests, then it's like, you don't know his situation. Maybe he's double jointed. Maybe he can break dance, pop lock, and do all these, you know, all these type of things with his arms and elbows. You don't know. So, but the only thing you can say is you shouldn't have been in that position. Yeah. You want to win the fight. You were in that position and you gave the referee an opportunity to stop the fight. So,
yeah, which you know what it reminds me of too, a little bit, Kamaru Usman, is like, I tell you what, it was a great stoppage because whether the fighter one, he put himself there, two, his arms extended, and then three, he did tap. I mean, what's this, Kamaru? Mm. Like, if you're fighting somebody and somebody does this,
Henry, did he though?
He did. He did.
Did he? Are you sure?
100%.
Okay.
Let's run
the sequence back. Let's run the sequence back because let's see for the time that he spent in that arm bar, several times that arm went up trying to look for the other arm. Several times. Those weren't taps, and the arm was already twisted.
What you're telling me is the miniature Polish power didn't tap. Is that what you're saying, Kamaru?
What? He didn't tap.
He didn't.
No, I don't think it was a full tap. This is a tap. This is a tap. Tap, tap. I'm out. That's a tap. Tap. I'm out. He didn't tap. He's like, oh, I'm looking for the arm. I'm thinking about tapping. I'm in a dangerous position. I'm looking for the arm. I'm thinking about tapping. When you're doing this, but when you're playing this game with the referee and stuff like that, hey, you're giving them the opportunity to stop it. And I don't blame Herb Dean. Of course, you stop it. Your job in there is to protect us fighters from ourselves. We are warriors in there. We're prepared to die, prepared to lose a limb. And it looked like, from Herb Dean's perspective, he looked like he was going to lose a limb. But if you don't tap and you get up and you protest like that, I understand what the miniature Polish power feels. But you shouldn't have been there. So it is what it is. Congratulations to Kevin Holland. I mean, finds a way to do it again. I mean, freaking Kevin Holland. You know, he found a way to do it. So congratulations to him.
And not just that too. Come on, look at the way he played it. Look at the way he played. Look how much his stock is rising too. From getting beat up his last fight to now this fight. He wins the fight. He jumps over the fence. He goes over to President Donald Trump, shake his hand. He goes over to Dana White, shakes his hand. He goes over to Hunter Campbell, shakes his hand. And then on top of that, he goes to the two matchmakers and and shakes their hands. I mean, talk about somebody being super political in the sense where he's being gracious, he's being grateful, but also, man, he's also playing the game. It was like, hey, man, I love the UFC. This how is my mission with everybody. All these guys are going to, you know, all this stuff's going to pay tenfold for a guy like Kevin Holland.
How old is Kevin Holland? Because I think it's a, you know, that's the thing that people are not realizing is over time, as human, as men, over time, we start to age. He's 31 now. Yeah, we age, and it's, you know, it's like it even says in the Bible, when you're young and you're a kid, you have that foolishness in you. There's been a lot of controversy, a lot of foolish things that, you know, Kevin Holland has kind of been a part of. But I do feel like, are we seeing growth here? He's got children. I believe he has two children now. I think he's got two children, and he's growing. I believe he's growing. You know, you can't hold all that things that, you know, the things that he did in the past against him. I think he's growing. He's maturing here. I do remember having a conversation with my manager, Ali, who ran into Kevin Holland this week. And he's like, yeah, you know, he feels that he's growing. He's changing, you know, he's maturing. And yeah, I see that. You know, that was a mature move. I don't know if it was political, but it was a mature move. You get over it and you shake him. You're just grateful. You're thankful for the position that you're in to be able to have another opportunity to do what you love. So, you know, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. It was great. Great win for Kevin Holland. I'm impressed.
Other than that, Kamaru, was there anything about 302 that surprised you with anything, like the whole card? Because I will say one thing. The Russian, what is it, Khabilov? Am I saying it right? Yeah, you know, I know he fought Caesar. I mean, I know I had that pick for Caesar.
Khabilov.
Yeah, Kapilov. Kapilov went in there. He actually found some of the wrestling. He really did a little switcheroo. And you're right, Kush. You're right on that. I was wrong about this one. And I think he just played it different, and he was able to get the victory. But talk about somebody who can tactically move on. If there's one fight in that whole card that really surprised me, really shook me a little bit, I got to go with Kapilov.
Kapilov, yeah. I mean, you know, before we get into it, you know, big, big shout out to our partners at Underdog Fantasy, you know, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Guys, don't forget, make sure you click the link in the description and use code P4P. That means pound for pound, if you don't know, you know, when you sign up. And Henry, yeah, let's go through it. Here is how we did with our picks. And first of all, listen, I wasn't wrong with these picks. The only thing that I was, you know, that I didn't get correctly, I wasn't wrong, but the only things I didn't get correctly is just a little minor details that might make a difference. Just minor details. Like you look in the, first and foremost, I went two for five. You actually, Henry, you went three for five, but
hey, you know, let's just say, Kamaru.
Yeah, let's just
on
say,
a dog fantasy.
But it is what it is. You just copied, you know, my picks. You went after me. So, yeah. But, yeah, Islam and Dustin Poirier, I told you guys. Yeah, I do pick Islam to win. But, you know, don't be disrespectful. It's going to last more than 10 minutes. And I was correct there. I believe the Jalton Almeida fight, we were correct. Yeah, he's going to take him down. Potentially he was going to get the finish. But he did it faster than we thought. You know, he went out there and did it faster. So, Jalton, great job. Obviously, the next fight was, the Sean Strickland? I knew it was going to last. I had a feeling it was going to be that, you know. If you don't mix it up with Sean Strickland, you know, you're going to let him do his thing. And Sean Strickland did that. So, hats off to those guys. And I believe the last one was the... Rude Boy Randy Brown taking on Eliseo. Great. That was a good fight. First and foremost, just want to touch on it real quick. That Dos Santos did a great job for being out to coming back. This man did a great job. So, you know, Randy Boy was still showing that he's evolution. He was able to stay on task. He was in danger.
How tall is he, Kamaru? How tall, dude? That dude is
Randy's like 6'3". Yeah, Randy's like 6'3". And you know what? Both got the victory. I would like to see Randy Brown versus Kevin Holland next. That's a banging fight.
I like that. It's particularly if they do want to push a guy like Randy Brown. I will say this, Kamaru. He is good. He is good. But I don't think he's really gone to the position where he really understands his ability. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is so lengthy, and sometimes he has great fakes and good fakes and feints, but he's in that fight zone a little too much. And I think when you're in that fight zone a little too much, it could be a little too dangerous. Not just that too, but Randy Brown, like, dude, I like you, man. I'm actually gonna start following you. I'm gonna send you a message here. I hope you can listen to it, because I really wanted to dissect your fight.
Ooh, Bobby
and,
Brown?
I just felt like he's, you know, his people are gonna try to take him down tomorrow. If you know, people are really gonna take him to that route, and he's gonna have to be ready for that as well.
You talking about Bobby Brown?
Or are you talking about Randy Brown?
Oh, Randy, not Bobby. All right, just because just asking. But yeah. Tremendous, as you saw what we did with the underdogs. So, once again, big shout out to those. But, Henry, before we go, yes, big breaking news. The Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson fight has been postponed due to Mike Tyson having an ulcer. It sucks, but listen, Jake Paul, you knew what you signed up for when you signed up for it. You know, the world lets you know. I know we certainly let you know how we felt about the fight. But the only thing I'm going to say here is my heart goes out to Uncle Mike. You know, Uncle Mike, we hope you get better. You have a speedy recovery and you get better and you're back to your 100% full health, living life the way you want. If the fight does get rescheduled, it is what it is. You know, I'm never going to shy away from seeing Uncle Mike. But... Yeah.
So real quick, Kamaru, I mean, we can touch up on this nonsense. We're talking about it. who replaces a guy like Mike Tyson? I like the fact of Jake Paul maybe fighting a guy like Ryan Garcia. I think if there's one fight, because we want to see him up against a boxer.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Ryan Garcia did make the case like, hey, if Uncle Mike ain't ready, if Uncle Mike can't scrap.
Wait, you know, Ryan Garcia?
Ryan Garcia. I think Ryan Garcia puts the brakes on this dude.
Ryan Garcia.
Ryan Garcia.
Mickey Mouse, Ryan Garcia.
Mickey Mouse.
Well, Mickey Mouse.
$1 million. Ryan.
And listen. And when I say Mickey Mouse, I'm not talking Mickey Mouse like, oh, in a dis. I'm not using that in a disrespectful connotation. What I'm saying when I say that is Ryan Garcia is 140 pounds. Jake Paul is 225 pounds.
Supposedly, what Ryan Garcia supposedly weighs.
Or what, 200 pounds?
175 to 180 pounds, come on.
Fat? Out of shape?
It doesn't matter.
Get out of here.
It doesn't matter. But okay. you don't think if these guys fight, you don't think, dude, Ryan Garcia will pap him up, dude. We'll pap him up.
Did you smoke before you did this, Henry? Did you smoke before this podcast?
A little.
I can tell. Ryan Garcia is 140 pounds.
With skill.
What, you're right.
I think you're really underestimating him, Kamaru. But anyhow, besides Ryan Garcia, I mean, what names do we have in there to go in there and replace a guy like Mike Tyson? Do you want to see a KSI? Do you want to see another YouTuber against another YouTuber? Or do you want to see a guy like Jake Paul fight a legit boxer?
It doesn't matter. I mean, he's already broken the mold. He's shown that this is just entertainment, and he's getting a bag for it all. So it doesn't matter whether he fights another guy. I did see Logan Paul saying that he was going to step in. He would like to step in and fight his own brother, which it is what it is. If they fight, yes, of course, people would watch it. If they actually are trying to hit each other, people would watch it, but it is what it is. I don't know. This is entertainment, so they'll pick somebody and they'll still get some eyes, but for him, you need a real fighter with some type of credentials if you're going to continue with Netflix. You need a real fighter with credentials. You need someone who can definitely hit you, who could hurt you, someone that makes sense. So, now, you know, good luck to Jake Paul.
Are you putting your name in the hat, Kamaru?
I never once put my name in that hat, you know, but we know me and Jake got a little history. But it is what it is. I'm not, you know, they'll find somebody. I'm sure they do. You know, they do a good job of entertaining, whether it's the garbage man, which, you know, some garbage men definitely can scrap. But whether it's a garbage man, they'll find somebody off the streets to throw in there with Jake Paul. But moving on, I mean, you ain't see your boy. I was out there that weekend, Henry, you know, doing my thing. I ain't gonna lie, Henry. Just like I told them, I was nervous to do this. Because you gotta be on cadence. You know, I thought I was in drum line doing my marching, you know, band joint. But I was out there. I got the opportunity to go out and definitely get the crowd riled up to start the game as my Florida Panthers went out there and closed the show versus the New York Rangers. And we are moving on to the Stanley Cup, baby. Stanley Cup. Florida Panthers. And also, let me just touch on that. I got a chance to meet the owners up there and talk to them a little bit. They bought the franchise, I think he said, about 10 years ago. And when they bought the franchise, one of the worst in the NHL. But in that short amount of time has flipped this to the coach. I mean, look at the culture. If you go in here, it was sold out. Sold out. Not one seat empty. The culture of, and we're down here in hot South Florida. And the hockey arena is packed full. Everyone there to watch our Florida Panthers move on to the Stanley Cup Finals. You know, big shout out to my man, Sean Thornton. Sean getting us hooked up and set up there. And Bryce and all these guys down there at the Panthers organization. But you see your boy, though. Let's go, Florida Panthers. Let's go. Hey, yeah, that was
dude. I'll tell you what, though, that seemed like a freaking high, man. I can only put myself in your shoes. I mean, thousands of people watching. You're out of your element playing a damn instrument. I mean, it looked cool as hell. It's definitely a bucket list. But for me, Kamaru, I'm here with the family. If you can't hear my daughter, I'm not trying to, you know. Anyways, on that side, you know how it is with kids. But I'm currently right now. I'm in Cancun, Mexico, just having time of my life before, you know, we officially start. You know, training hard and kind of somewhat pre-camp before the camp. So I'm just enjoying the real Cancun.
I see that.
I just can't, you know.
Yeah, I see that. You know what we call that, Henry? You know what we call that, Henry? What you're doing right now is what we call soft life. You are living soft life in Cancun, chopping grapes anyhow. Yeah, living soft life, Henry. Yeah, living it. But, yeah, it was, first of all, I wasn't out of my element. My man, I was in the marching band, bro. But actually, I didn't play the drums. I was the trumpet guy. You know, I was out there getting my beep, beep, beep on, you know, my pause. But I was doing my thing. I was doing my thing back in 7th, 8th grade, 9th grade.
No way. Were you part of a marching band back in the day?
Yeah, yeah. Did my thing.
You got to do the stomp and shit? Like, you know, you guys
yeah. I knew my cadence, doom, 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 doom. Yeah, you know, I did my thing. I was trying to get my Kenny G on, you know, but unfortunately it didn't work out. So fighting did. So, but Henry, we're going to move on. Henry, I don't know if you know, but big, big, big news coming on, guys. If you guys didn't know, we are happy to announce that we are launching our official Pound for Pound newsletter. This is going to be the best place to stay up to date on everything from top stories in the combat sports to UFC recaps, event previews, and any other combat sports news. Guys, the newsletter will go out every week, so don't miss it. Head to poundforpound.com to subscribe today. It's completely free, so we ain't asking y'all for none. It's completely free. The link is in the description of the podcast. Guys, support the show. And Henry, what a great weekend. We look forward to next weekend. We got some big things coming up. Big things coming up. I'm going to just plug you real quick. Somebody about to... That was horrible shadowboxing, huh? I know. It was horrible.
Yeah. No, what's up? Spill the beans, Kamaru.
Big things coming up. Big thing. You don't forget, we got the pipeline. We got the interview with Mr. David Benavidez coming up. You know, people get to finally see that. And, of course, big fights coming soon. Don't forget, my AKO4... AKO4 is this weekend. So, you know, all my African fight fans, make sure you check that out live for the first time in Abuja, Nigeria. You know, tickets available at Naira Box. Make sure you get that. You go check that out. But David Benavidez interview comes out this Friday. It's going to be fantastic. Some of you that didn't know some of the things about Mr. Benavidez, you know, I got a chance to see it. Henry, you've known him since you were a kid. And so you already knew some of these things. But me getting to see him, being around him, his family, his energy, you know, he's a special young man and he's doing special things in boxing. And I can't wait for the world to see that interview on Thursday.
Guys. Tomorrow. Always a pleasure, my brother. Go ahead. Let us have it. Close it out.
Of course, guys. Make sure you go ahead and you like, you comment, and you subscribe. I said subscribe, bro. Don't subscribe. All right? I'm the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And we are out of here.